Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
There, water was flowing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, where the temple faced east. And the water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And the water was coming out on the south side. Going on eastward, with a cord in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits, and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000, and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000, and led me through the water, and it was up to the waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Mortal, have you seen this?" Then he led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw on the bank of the river a great many trees on the one side and on the other. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah. And when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish once these waters reach there. It will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes. People will stand fishing beside the sea from En Gedi to En Eglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be a great many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. On the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. But they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." Word of God, word of life. Let us read the psalm responsively. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, with its swarms too many to number, living things both small and great.
There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it.
All of them look to you to give them their food in due season.
You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. O Lord, rejoice in all your works.
You look at the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they swell up.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. A reading from Revelation. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They have no need of light, lamp, or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
God promises visions of providence. Scripture offers images of rivers and streams bringing life and abundance. To be sure, Ezekiel sees a vision of a river flowing from the altar of God. This river becomes grand in stunning ways. Imagine a cubit being, well, roughly a meter or a little more than a yard. With 4,000 cubits or meters or yards, this river had become so substantial that one could not cross it. Its depth allowed for swimming, but not for crossing the river. Trees line the river. The river has the power to turn stagnant water fresh. Fish and wildlife of all kinds swarm in the presence of this river. The fruit of the trees will not fail. This promise comes after the vision of the valley of dry bones, where the nation had become hopeless, except by the word and authority of God. Ezekiel's response to God's invitation in the valley of dry bones was, "O Lord, you know." This kind of imagery has a reprise in Revelation, the revelation to John, when after warnings to those seven communities about how they were living their faith, the Lord offers a vision of a river flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Of course, the Lamb reads Christ. This river also sustains the tree of life with fruit that does not fail. Indeed, this river provides fruit for all seasons. This river offers healing for all nations. Certainly throughout the world, the need for healing of all nations has become deeply evident. All creation desperately needs God's light of life and salvation. Instead, too often visions of horribly polluted rivers and streams have become the reality. To offer a short list, in Cuernavaca, Mexico, the Spanish language school faculty led excursions for their students. In one excursion, they took their flock of Spanish language for ministry students to a visit with a potter. Entering the yard where this woman supported her family making clay pots, the group had to cross a small bridge over a stream. The stream had a foul smell, and for its depth appeared very cloudy. The faculty explained in Spanish that this stream functioned as an open sewer for this very impoverished area of the city. The potter worked mere yards from that, not even 1,000 yards from that polluted stream. the tourism board of Cuernavaca did not want to invite visitors to this part of town. Instead, the second stop of the tour included a lush valley with a waterfall. This offered postcard images that the tourism people wanted. However, the faculty pointed out that the stream that had flowed along the street near the potter's home was the same stream in this Barranca de San Anton. Somehow, the mist of the waterfalls did not hold the same allure. Poverty provides no protection from the pollution and neglect of human engagement with nature. Ah, but what about the United States? Each year, lists of the most polluted rivers begin to circulate. The Cuyahoga River currently sits at number 8. That the Cuyahoga River received so much pollution that it literally caught fire in 1948, 1952, and 1969 places this river in a particular position of fame. Of course, the Ohio River holds the number 2 position on the list. The Missouri, the Mississippi, nor any of the rivers on this in Missouri find a place on the list of 12 most polluted rivers. That does not mean that they do not have their own issues. And yet, over the past 50 years, the Clean Water Act has provided legal recourse for cleaning up and protecting waterways throughout the United States. Even still in the 1980s and 90s, many of the rivers in Kansas had the ignoble positions of being so polluted that some declared them dead. Yet regulations such as the Clean Water Act and the implementing policy that flows from it have come under duress in recent years. One great risk includes reversion to policy and potentially the levels of pollution that came out of the early 20th century. Certainly, God can bring from the destruction of the valley of dry bones new life. The revelation of God and the Lamb who bring new life at the end of the age promises abundance in light eternal. And yet, humanity has received grace that frees all people to work for the protection of all creation. The baptismal call to work for justice and peace in all the earth, well, extends beyond seeking justice and peace for humanity and among and within nations. For the sake of humanity, the call for justice and peace implores all humanity to attend to the damage already done, even as all people need to work to continue the progress of the many past years. God's creative work continues, and humanity's partnership in tending and tilling creation is a sacred duty for the well-being of all creation. Living in the promise of God's vision for all people, for forest and land, wilderness and river, for all animals and all creation, let us respond to God's grace through living into care for creation in ways that sustain God's intended abundance. Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at standrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.